And I hope the presentation you just saw gave you a glimpse into the good things that God is doing in Portugal. To God be the glory, great things He has done and is doing, and we trust He will continue to do as we proceed with the work He's given us there. It's such a joy to be with you all today, and one of the churches I most look forward to visiting while we're home on furlough is your church. And one of the main reasons for that is because of your pastor. Pastor Anderson, or as I knew him as a teenager, PA, has had a tremendous influence in my life, and I'm so thankful for the years I was able to be in his youth group and learn from him, and not just from his teaching, but from his life. I was thinking this morning of a time he took me fishing in a canoe. And I proceeded to get in the canoe and turn the whole canoe over with all the fishing tackle and everything else. And he showed great patience and grace. And I'm thankful for that. And just many other moments. And last night we had a wonderful time reminiscing and thinking back on the memories of good moments that we've shared in the past. And so I'm thankful for his life and influence. And I'm thankful for you all, for your prayer, for your interest, for the time in Sunday school this morning. It was very special, and look forward to having lunch with you afterwards. Please take one of our prayer cards. Continue to pray for us, and we're very, very thankful for you. This morning, I invite you to take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. As you turn there, I think of the story of a man named Bill Bresnan. And he is known for being a man who has written, as of 2015, a love letter to his wife every day, every single day, for 40 years. And those love letters fill now 13 boxes. And it's pretty remarkable to think. I know some of the guys here are probably thinking, I have a hard enough time just remembering our anniversary. And here he's written a love letter to his wife for 40 years. What a lavish display of love just day after day. Think also of a lady named Carrie DeKline from Michigan. She had 5 children. She was expecting her 6th child. And when she found out she was expecting, she also discovered that she had cancer. And as a result, she refused all chemotherapy and other treatments that would have harmed the baby. And the baby was born. And the day after the baby was born, Carrie passed away. And sadly, a few days later, that baby died as well. Many people look at her choice, of her example, and think, wow, here she is. How could she do that? And yet, here she is, a mother who loved her yet-to-be-born child. You hear stories of Bill Bresnan, of just faithful love day after day. You hear of great heroic examples of love, of a mother giving her life for a child. And you think, what is it that motivates someone to do that? And the simple answer is love. Love. A love that is true and deep will shine forth in little acts of daily kindness and an extravagant sacrifices. Love gives. Love is powerful. Love will, in many cases, to bystanders or people around us, will seem excessive or perhaps even scandalous in some regard. But in our lives as Christians, we are followers of Jesus, and we are called to love Him above all else. And when we receive Jesus as our Savior and begin to follow Him, it's the beginning of a love relationship with Him, of being loved by Him and growing in our love toward Him. As the hymn says, "My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." So this passage today that we're about to read gives us a glimpse of what it looks like to love Jesus. And it also gives us a glimpse into Jesus, the one who is worthy to be loved with the most extravagant, sacrificial love we could possibly give. So, join with me in as I read Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. It says this, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it out on his head, and he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have always the poor, have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.'" Join with me as we pray for God's work in our lives today. Father, we come before you in this moment. We have read your word, and now we pray that your Spirit would open our eyes to see wondrous things. Pray that you would move our hearts and affections, our will, all that we are, and I pray that our attention would be wholly given to your word. Holy Spirit, work in our lives today. Move in us. We confess that we do not love as we ought to love. We don't often love Jesus as we should. So today we pray that this example and this glimpse into who Jesus is would move our hearts to have a greater, a deeper, stronger love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you're like me, we say, "My Jesus, I love thee. And if ever I love thee, I love thee now." And as the hymn says, and there are many hymns that we sing that speak of our love for Jesus. But if you're like me, many times our love can grow cold, indifferent. Many times we look at a passage like this and say, I wish I could display that sort of fervor, of emotion, affection, of sacrifice that is displayed here, but my heart just seems far from Jesus. We become selfish, self-sufficient, jaded. And our love is intensely important to Jesus. Jesus desires and calls for our love. So my question as I begin today, it's a simple question, but it's this: do you love Jesus? Is your love for Jesus growing? How does your love for Jesus show itself in your life today? As I ask that question, and I confess it sometimes makes my heart squirm a little bit as I think about how many times my motives can be clouded and my obedience half-hearted, my affections cold, my passion for the Savior is many times calculated and not full. So what does it look like to truly love Christ? What does it look like to give your best to Christ? Well, first of all, in this passage here, we see that loving Jesus means I will give him my best. Loving Jesus means I will give him my best. Mary, in this passage, gives the woman named here, gives her best to Jesus. Her love is unrestrained. Now what's happening here? This passage, this encounter, appears here in Matthew, in Mark, and in John. And in John, this woman, this unnamed woman here in Matthew, is named. And in John, she is named Mary. Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. And I'm not for sure why Matthew and Mark don't name her, but this certainly is the case. This is Mary here. And they're gathered together for a dinner party in the home of Simon the leper. Now, he's known as the leper, but at this moment, he's no longer a leper, else they wouldn't be gathered together in his home. And most likely, he had been healed by Jesus there in Bethany. These are just a few days before Jesus will die on the cross there in Jerusalem. So these are the final days, the final moments of Jesus. And he's gathered together with his disciples. He's gathered together with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and this Simon the leper who had been healed. Just glimpse into the dark room with the candles flickering and smell the aromas of the food that's being served, the conversation among the disciples. And then Mary comes. And perhaps, and many times it was customary in that time for a host to anoint or drop some drops of perfume on their guests. But that's not what Mary does. It says she has an alabaster, it's like an alabaster flask. This would have been a special type of marble from Egypt. The flask itself would have been a priceless, beautiful treasure. And inside that flask is about 12 ounces of priceless perfume. Later, Judas, the accountant, the treasurer, would say that this could have been sold for 300 denarii, almost a year's worth of wages. This is something that would be worth tens of thousands of dollars. This is a priceless heirloom, perhaps. This is very likely her most valued possession. So in that moment, she breaks it open and anoints Jesus, anoints his head, and that perfume, that priceless perfume, goes down Jesus' body, down to his feet. And in John, it says that she wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. This moment that had been full of fellowship and conversation and friendship, a joyous moment, turns frosty and cold. As the disciples and everyone gathered there looks almost scandalized at what Mary has done. She's poured out this. It says in verse 8, it says, the disciples, when they saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? So consider this. Consider how Mary here gives Jesus her very best. Love for Jesus is a love that desires to give him as much as possible, not to withhold as much as I possibly can keep, and still maintain some resemblance of religion. The desire is to give all that is possible. Perhaps you'll go to a restaurant this week and you'll leave a tip. A tip is an act of kindness, isn't it? It's a gesture of appreciation. What Mary does here is not a tip. It is giving her all. Shows her love and affection for Jesus. No one told Mary to do this. No one expected Mary to do this. And that is one of the reasons why it is such a powerful act. For us as followers of Jesus Christ, this is vital for us to understand. Truly knowing Jesus means we will love Jesus. True Christianity is a life that grows deeper in our love for Jesus. In John 8:42, Jesus says this, if God were your Father, you would love me. So the meaning is if we belong to God, if we are sons and daughters of God, then we will have love for Jesus. It is impossible to be truly saved and remain indifferent or cold-hearted to Jesus. And in Matthew 10, Jesus describes the depth and extremity of this love. What Mary does here by pouring out this perfume on Jesus is described in Matthew 10. Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus, in no uncertain terms, says that love for him must be above all other loves. And that is what's displayed here. This is a love for Jesus that is supreme. There is no other love that can be greater than our love for Jesus. Now, to those who know not Jesus, that can seem almost scandalous, to love Jesus more than father or mother or brother or sister. But we know that the more we love Jesus, the stronger our ability is to love our mother, father, wife, husband, children, whatever it may be. So the more we love Jesus, the greater our hearts are unleashed to love others around us. Philippians 3:8, the Apostle Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all." So the question for us today is not, is Jesus important to us? I would hope everyone gathered here today would say, yes, Jesus is important to us. But the question is, does he have first place in our lives? Does he have first place in our affections, in our priorities, in our decisions, in all that we do? Does he reign in our lives today? And so we see here in this passage that loving Jesus means that I will give him my best. But secondly, we see that loving Jesus will result in criticism from others. This results in great criticism from the disciples. They're indignant. This is not just some mild disapproval. They are up in arms about this. This is scandalous. Says, and their excuse here, or their reasoning here, it says, to what purpose is this waste? What was an extravagant act of love from Mary to them was wasteful. This wasn't practical. This wasn't. We could have done so much more good with this than what was done here. This heartfelt act of love gets pushback very quickly. This is inappropriate. It's excessive. Perhaps they were thinking, Mary, she's at it again. We remember Mary, her sister Martha complained, she's at the feet of Jesus and I'm working and serving. Mary was one who was wherever she is seen, she's always close to Jesus. And perhaps they were thinking, there she is again, always going overboard, excessive, overly emotional in her displays of affection. In John's gospel, it points the finger at Judas, and it says that they said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was greedy. So this is the disciples' response, indignation and criticism. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? When he spoke to Jesus, he had great riches. And instead of following Jesus, he wanted to keep the riches for himself. And so he left Jesus. Mary, on the other hand, wants to use all that she has and put it at Jesus' feet. And so it results in the criticism of others. It says that the disciples were outraged, and truly a life that is given to Christ will also result in criticism from others. There will be others that will question you. Perhaps you may be one of the only ones in your family who follow Jesus, who are saved. And if that's the case, you'll know that at family gatherings or friends, coworkers, that if you truly follow Jesus Christ with your life and your decisions and all that you do and say, that there will be pushback. People will say, what are you thinking? I can't believe you would do that. Can't believe you would give that up or believe that you would sacrifice that. It will result in the criticism of others. It's one thing to go to church every now and then. Having a little religion in your life doesn't hurt anyone. That's what they may say. But if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you pour out your life in loving him and serving him, then it will result in the criticism of others. And I ask you today, where in your life do you face criticism or pushback because of your love for Jesus? That's a kind of a hard question, isn't it? Yet we see here, when we follow Jesus with our lives wholeheartedly, unreservedly, with all that we are, there will be criticism. Why? Because we're not citizens of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our values are Christ. And the more we focus our attention and love on Christ, the less the things of this world will shine. There's a little chorus that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that little chorus was inspired by a lady who was named Lilias Trotter. She was from a very wealthy family, in England, late 1800s, early 1900s, and she was a very gifted artist. In fact, John Ruskin, who was one of the great critics of those those days, said she will become the greatest English artist in history. And she was slated to become the next Van Gogh, Renoir, and all those famous artists that we know. But when she was in her 20s, God moved and worked in her heart in such a way that she knew that she could not be dedicate her life to her art and at the same time serve Jesus with all that she was. And so she made a choice. And for 40 years, the last 40 years of her life, she lived and served in Algeria, in the desert, mostly working with women and children. And John Ruskin many times would write her letters saying, come back, we continue your work as an artist. He said, I fear that you are wasting your God-given abilities. And so she spent the rest of her life painting, and you can see many of her paintings today. They're very beautiful. Desert scenes, people in the desert, and many times using those paintings to illustrate tracks and children's books and things like that. To the world, what she did by giving up her life as an artist, becoming one of the preeminent artists of her day, seemed absolutely scandalous. But as she gave 40 years of her life for Algeria, she would say, there are no regrets. I gladly pour out all of my life for Jesus. And so loving Jesus will result in criticism from others, and that's exactly what we see here. But also we see, thirdly, loving Jesus requires denying good things. It requires denying good things. It says, this ointment could be sold for a great price. The money could be given to the poor. Now, the accusation seems to be fair here. Wouldn't it have been better to sell the perfume, give the money to the poor? Now, it's important to clarify. The Bible is all, if we're saved, we will care for the poor. True religion, true and undefiled religion, says James, is to care for the widow and for the orphan. And over again, we see throughout scriptures that we are called to be generous and giving and help those in need. But the question here is that we will have to deny good things for the best as we follow Jesus. The idea is, Jesus above all. He doesn't have just a percentage of my life. He owns everything. He's Lord over all. He is my all in all. And the reality is that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when we put Jesus first, our love for others will increase and our ability to be generous will multiply. But Jesus must be above all else. Think about our lives and the priorities and the decisions that we make. Is it Jesus above all else? Many times it will require denying good things in order to pursue the very best. But finally, we see in this passage that loving Jesus has eternal value. Now we've seen Mary's sacrifice and her generous, extravagant love. But now consider Jesus' words here. What does Jesus say? Look what he says here in verse 10. Why trouble ye the woman? Jesus is saying, what she has done is right. Why trouble ye the woman? Many times we become scandalized, and Jesus perhaps would say to us, why trouble ye the woman? But then he says this, first of all, she says, she did a good work, or for she hath wrought a good work upon me. Isn't that a wonderful commendation? To the disciples, what Mary did was out of line, was wrong. And Jesus says, she hath wrought a good work. And I think to Mary, that was all that mattered. As long as Jesus said she has done a good work, it didn't matter what anybody else in that room said. She was concerned only with the words of her Lord. If we're going to have lives surrendered to Christ, we have to live for an audience of one, for Jesus. Jesus commends her while everyone else scolds her. So she had done a good work. She did something beautiful. But notice also, not only that, it says, For in that she hath showed, verse 12, hath poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. Perhaps Mary was one of the only ones who understood exactly what was about to happen. Now, numerous times Jesus had spoken. For example, if you turn back to Matthew chapter 20, turn with me there. Matthew chapter 20. And this in verse 17, 18, and 19, this is the third time that Jesus has predicted his death. It says in 20, verse 17, Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. And what happens right after that? James and John come, so we want to be on your right and left in the kingdom to come. What's happening here? Jesus has said, I'm going to die on the cross. He has predicted, he has told of his death. His disciples don't seem to get it, but perhaps Mary understood. And Jesus says here, she hath poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. So her act of love remained with Jesus. This was just a few short days before Jesus would die on the cross. He would be buried. Maybe a few days later, if you look here in Matthew 26, right after this, Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. Perhaps as he is in sweat drops of blood, he's in agony praying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And he sees his disciples sleeping. And yet at that moment, perhaps he breathes in and smells and remembers Mary's act of love. Perhaps a few moments later when Peter denies him, still smell the perfume that had been anointed on him and remember this act of faithfulness that had been poured out on him. She did it in preparation for my burial. And then it says in looking back in verse 13, it says, Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial for her. The act that scandalized the disciples is now mentioned today, is in scriptures in three of the gospels, and is proclaimed today, is shown today as a supreme example of love for Jesus. And the truth is, when we love Jesus with our lives, with everything that we are, the effect is eternal. In Mark, to turn with me there real quick in the parallel passage, in Mark 14, verse 8, Mark mentions these words of Jesus too. In verse 8, it says, She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She hath done what she could. When we place our all of our focus and love and affection on Jesus, the effects will be eternal. It says she had done what she could. Now, she would certainly do things different from James, who would one day be a martyr, from Peter, from John, but what she could do, she did. And truly, as we follow Jesus Christ, as we love Jesus Christ, each one of us will be called to do that in different areas, in different contexts, in different places. But all of us are called to do what we can to pour out our lives and love for our Lord and Savior. I don't want to get to the end of my life and have left anything in the tank, anything in reserve. I want to live my life every moment and my days. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my heart. It is Thy throne. It shall be Thy royal throne, says the hymn. And so When we love Christ with our lives and everything we are, the effect is eternal. And so this act of love has eternal ripples even to this day. So today, consider Jesus now. Consider Jesus, the one who is worthy of this love. Jesus, in just a few short days, will lay down his life. Jesus will give his life and will be hung on a cross and pour out his blood, will be shed. He will suffer and die in our place for our sins. He was anointed, it says, anointed for my burial. Jesus came to die and to rise again. Today, a message like this many times can be hard to convey in the sense of you can convey information, but to communicate beauty and worth and glory is a whole different story. But today, consider Jesus, his beauty and worth and glory and his willingness to go to the cross because he loves you and me, to die in our place for our sins. Consider Jesus, who is beautiful and worthy and holy. And so we see here Jesus, the object of her affection. Jesus is the one who died in our place for our sins. As it's come to the end of this passage today, perhaps you're here and you know Jesus at a distance. You've heard stories about Jesus. You've read about Jesus, maybe seen a movie or something that talks of Jesus. But today I ask, do you truly know Jesus? Is Jesus your Savior? Is he your Lord? If not, today I plead with you that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would be saved from your sin. He died on the cross for your sin and rose again. Look to the cross, look to Jesus and be saved from your sin. Turn from your sin and receive Jesus as your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Today, receive Jesus. Today, many of us, perhaps most of us here, know Jesus as our Savior, but we are like the disciples, more like the disciples than we are like Mary. Possibly we're clinging to our lives, to our desires, to things, our vision of what our lives should look like. And the call for this passage is simply to pour out all that we are and lay it at the altar, to give up our lives as a living sacrifice to Jesus, to King Jesus, who laid down his life for us. Jesus died to save me. Does my life reflect this truth? A life lived for Christ has far greater effects than I can see at this moment. And we should not be ashamed to love Jesus with everything that we are. In 1899, there was a rebellion in China called the Boxer Rebellion. And the Boxers were Chinese that hated everything Western, including Christianity. And it was a very violent time in Chinese history. Many thousands of people died, and there were many foreigners, and especially those who died during this rebellion were foreign missionaries. And in the summer of 1900, 239 Protestant and Catholic missionaries were murdered. There were 41 Swedish missionaries who were later killed. But more than just the foreign missionaries that were there in China were the Chinese believers that suffered tremendously under the Boxers. And the account is told of a Christian school filled with Chinese students that was surrounded by the Boxers. And they said, when they surrounded the school, they said, "Everyone can go free." But they took the cross down that was in front of that school and placed it there at the entrance. And they said, "Everyone can go free if you step on that cross and as you leave, you renounce your faith." And so there was about 100 or so students there, and the first 8 did exactly that. But then there was the 9th, small, short, young lady, not a very imposing figure, and she Boldly, she exclaimed, "I will never step on the cross. I will never deny Jesus." And soon she was killed. But the 92 behind her, all of them, were killed with her too. They all, because of her act of love and her act of devotion, were inspired by that and gave their lives. And if they had to choose again 1,000 times, I'm sure they would choose every time Christ. I ask you, do you love Jesus? I love Jesus. Jesus is my best friend. He will never abandon me. He is my Lord and my Savior. But my desire is to love my Savior even more. As I serve the Lord, my Lord and Savior there in Portugal, I pray that I can serve with a heart and a life that flows, that gives all that I have to my Lord and Savior. To you here, Liberty Baptist Church in Anago, give it all. Lay it all. Give it all to Jesus. All to Jesus. Surrender and give freely, knowing that as you live your life, wherever He has placed you, that it will be a life that is truly beautiful, and it is a life that has true eternal value. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. Love Jesus.